Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham and Milan Yurkovich and your very own personal phone calls right here. It's a great day for New Life. Glad you're with us.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. I just got married 3 months ago, and it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news, because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well
takes
with children.
Time.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham. Hey, Sherry.
Hey.
And Milan Yurkovich.
Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm absolutely doing well and looking forward to September the 1st, which is New Year's.
New Year's for what?
Well, I always think that September 1 is more of a new year than January 1, because December 31st, it's cold, and then January 1, it's cold, but something changes in September. Kids go back to school. It's like a fresh start, and you prepare
for leaves.
To me, it's just much more of a new year. So, you know, we stay up late August 31st and do the, you know, the little noisemakers and
pots and pans out in the front yard.
Yeah, and
your
neighbors
are like, those are really weird people.
I have a crystal ball thing that I drop down on the floor. It breaks and to bring in the new school year. So anyway, it's a great time to
throw flashcards around the room.
No, it's a great time to make a decision to change something. I quit smoking on September the 1st, you know, so I mean, that was like two decades ago. And, you know, it's just a great time to have a marker right there. Say, okay.
It's a natural start and stop time. Summer creates its break.
Yeah.
And school, churches, everybody starts over again September 1st.
Yeah. If you notice, you drank more beer than enjoyed the summer, maybe great day to go to a AA meeting on the 1st. Hey, let's go to Diane from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening on WFI and your L. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And how are you?
Excellent. Yeah. What can we do for you today?
Well, in a previous show I was listening, there was a girl by the name of Christine who had called in, and she was considering aborting her baby.
Yes.
And I'm not calling in with a question, but I'm calling in with a witness. And to just let everyone who's listening, including Christine, that God is still in the healing business, and that over several years I've had the opportunity to pray with women that couldn't get pregnant, and not only did they have children, but some received double portion, and other women that were told they would have a Down syndrome baby, and that did not occur. Visited with children in the hospital where they were told they would have a lung infection and receive blindness. That did not occur. And for her to hold on to Psalm 139:13, and that she should not wait for death but speak life into her unborn child, and to give that baby, as of right this minute, I'm going to stand in the gap for her, back to God, and it be the Father's will that He'll give that baby back to her.
Hmm. That's good. I like that, Diane. Thanks for reminding us that God is a God of healing, and He's a God of life. He loves to give life. And while we can't expect Him in every situation to heal on this side of heaven, we shouldn't give up that hope until, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
That's a good thing. And if she needs a prayer partner, I'll speak with one of your people and give my number. And if she'd like someone that will pray with her each and every week and help her get through this hard time, I'll stand in the gap.
We will contact her and give her your number.
Thank you.
God bless you. I'm going to send you the 7-minute marriage solution. I hope you like it. And God bless you for calling.
It's kind of nice. It's like there's a support group happening over the airwaves for her. I think it's precious. Here's a girl that's like, I don't have anyone in my life to encourage me in this.
Think how much attention this baby is getting.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah.
Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hi there. Welcome back. Let's go to Al, Washington, D.C., listening on WAVA. Hello, Al. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, sir? Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks for giving us a phone call. Can we help
you? Can y'all hear me good?
We can hear you, sir, and really glad to talk with you. And
How
can we help?
Going through a tough time in my life. My wife and I are separated right now, not living together. It's been like this since about October of last year.
Okay,
and I was actually back in the home around March. And, you know, about a month and a half after that, my wife was just like, I just don't feel this. And I may have been a little too, clingy, you know what I mean? Just anxious and because things weren't like they were in the past, you know, where she was just such a good woman to me. And, I'm sure you've heard it before, you know, I wasn't the man I was supposed to be, you know, biblically. I wasn't the leader of the household, and I take full responsibility for the separation. But, where I get confused and have problems is, what should I be doing now? Is like, should I just completely let go?
No.
And leave it in God's hands?
No. No.
Should I continue to
no.
Support my wife?
Let me tell you what you need to do. Let me tell you what you need to do.
Yes, sir.
You need to get some help for yourself.
Okay.
I mean, really, that you haven't done anything to show her that you want to be the man that she wants to be married to.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing is, I have a couple elder pastors that, you know, I speak with on a regular basis.
That's not good enough. That's not good enough. You need to go get some work done. You know, one of the great marital philosophers who invented attachment core pattern therapy, Milan Jurkovic, he talks about the ruptured marriage and it needs repair. And repair comes from work on the soul. And
so
then
you're like counseling or?
Yeah, that'd be great. Go to a men's Bible study. Get some counseling. Go to a men's group. But show her that you aren't satisfied with who you are. And then she'll be motivated to give it a try to connect with you again. Mylan, Sherry, what do you guys think about this?
Well, I'll just say a quick something and then Mylan can share. Al, a lot of times with women when they have been hurt, and I really appreciate the fact, Al, that you're owning responsibility for this.
Yeah, that's very good.
I'm proud of you. What I want to encourage you to own responsibility is what Steve just suggested is doing something about it. Because the wives feel like, so what? So what? you're owning responsibility for the separation. So what? You're coming back home. So what? You say you're sorry. They really don't care about that, to be honest. What a woman wants to see is a changed man. They want to see your behavior is different. I always tell them, watch his steps. See what he's doing. If you get the healing like Steve's inviting you into, you're going to start living differently. Because time isn't going to heal this.
No.
It's going to be your being a changed person. And meeting with a pastor on a regular basis is not enough. Like Steve said, he walked right into it. You've got to change yourself. Because she is just hearing la, 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 la. It's just words to her. Your behavior will woo her back. So do you even know what your problem is?
I mean, for me, it was, I guess, like I said, I just wasn't there, emotionally for her. I was very selfish and, just concentrating on my own things and just caring, warm as much as I should have been towards my wife. And, you know, she was that person to me, and it's like, things have like totally flip-flopped around, and you know, as much as I want to be with her and just, you know, hug her, touch her, you know she's just very opposed to that. She's very on her own, like, you know, I want to walk my own path.
Yeah, we get that.
Well, you know, Al, she's made you all bad at this point. She wants her own path. Don't touch me, stay away from me. And it's creating, as you said, insecurity and anxiousness inside of you. And yeah, when you say it is solely my responsibility, I balk at that just a little bit. You know, when you put two people together in a marriage, both people do something to help contribute to the decline of the marriage. It doesn't have to be 50-50, but both people do something. So I would suggest that you get into couples therapy and you ask her to come in with someone who will see you as a couple, or see you individually with the intention of seeing you as a couple, to find out what went wrong that you couldn't see each other. Because it is repairable. This is one of those places that we can learn to do different things. But what your wife may have to do, in addition to what Steve and Sherry said, is come to a place where she's also willing to look at herself. Because I guarantee you, something that she is doing or has done is a part of the equation. So for you to say it's all my fault, all my fault, all my fault, you might be reinforcing an incorrect thought in her mind that she has nothing to do with this or she has no responsibility. And I would just disagree with that, just philosophically, since I'm being called a philosopher here by Steve.
It's a great philosopher. All right, Al, I'm going to send you a copy of the 7-Minute Marriage Solution. It'll tell you 7 things to stop doing right now that will bring her closer to you. 7 things to start doing right now that will bring her closer to you. And the 7 most valuable minutes you can spend in a day. And she may not be ready for those 7 minutes, but if you will do the things we're saying here, follow the book, I think there's great hope.
But those 7 minutes of connection every day could be this turnaround that they're trying to create. Because he's being a leader, he's being initiating, he's doing the very things, saying, I see you.
Yeah, and he's not wanting to touch her or anything. He's just wanting to look in her eyes and listen and see who she is. Very, very important.
And say, what have I done in our marriage that has hurt you?
Yeah, there you are.
And what would feel better to you? What would feel better? What can I do to repair the breach?
Because all the time you're saying, oh, I made a mistake, I'm so stupid, and all this, you're still talking about you.
Yeah.
Well, and I find, Sherry, when that question is asked, a lot of people can't give us a definitive answer.
Yeah.
There's just this vague thing they have in their head about something they want, and all they know is you don't meet that. But if you ask them specifically, what would you want your husband or wife to do, they can't give you a clear answer, which, if you will, is a diagnostic question.
Yeah. Okay, let's go
you're right.
Let's go to Jeff from Omaha, Nebraska. KCRO is the station. Hello, Jeff.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm struggling, actually.
Okay, what's going on?
I have a decision that I have to make.
Okay, what is it?
My daughter wrote me a letter and said that she no longer wants to see me for visitation.
How old is she?
12.
Okay, and why would she say that?
Well, it's been a long struggle. My wife and I have been divorced now for about 8 years, going on 8 years. And for that 8 year long period of time, it seems, anyway, that my wife, my former wife, has been working to destroy the relationship that my daughter and I have. And at least that's the way it appears. I'm fairly confident that is what's going on.
Well, how often have you been seeing your daughter for visitation?
Well, it was regular at first. In the beginning, we just had regular visits.
And like when? How many? How often?
Well, every Wednesday, uh-huh. And then every other weekend, and then for every other week during the summer.
Okay.
And when did that stop?
That stopped about 2 years ago.
Okay. And why is that?
Well, it stopped because my former spouse, again, she went to places like the CPS and Department of Human Services and raised allegations that I was not suitable to take care of my daughter.
Because? And get specific with us. What was her violation? What was she saying was being violated?
Well, she claimed, my daughter is a bit asthmatic, and so she claimed that I would not allow her medicines, that I wouldn't give them to her.
And any truth to that at all?
There was a period in time where, because my daughter's never demonstrated, there's a lot of history here. My former wife is a hypochondriac.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's my opinion. I can't get her in to see a doctor. But and so what she does is she likes to make the kids sick. She did it with her son, too.
Like Munchausen syndrome by proxy?
Yeah. And I've talked to the Department of Human Services and CPS about it, and they seem to care little about it. That's not one of their areas that they're concerned with. And
pretty important area.
It's really nothing to them. They refuse to address it. And
so you weren't giving her medication because you thought she didn't really need it.
Well, there was just a short period of time there where I said, let's just experiment. And I had her for a week, you know, during one of my summer visits. And I said, why don't we just try going without it, and we'll just kind of keep a watch on it. And she did fine for that week. And she even went to her taekwondo practices and had no issues at all. She did fine.
Okay. I think we get the picture. Now, tell us how we can help you. She
wrote a letter to me.
Yeah.
And she says that she no longer wants to do visits with me because I scare her, and because I intimidate her, is what she said. I scare her.
All
right. She's afraid that she will die as a result of my not giving her her medications.
Okay. And so the question for us is, what should you do?
Well, how to respond to that letter.
Okay.
She's also, in the letter, she also includes a lot of verbiage that her mom spews.
Yeah.
And so it's not coming from her. I don't feel that it's coming from her. And the letter that I wrote in response is a little harsh, I think. And I just told her that, you know, the lies that she put into her letter.
You already sent this letter to her?
Well, I wrote the letter. I haven't given it to her yet.
You haven't, okay, don't give her that letter.
Okay.
Don't put your daughter in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying not to, but she puts herself there. I don't know what to do with.
Well, she's 12 years old.
She's 12 years old. A 12-year-old daughter doesn't purposely put herself into this kind of a situation. However,
former spouse did. Yeah.
I know that's what you think, and I get that. But what I want to ask you is there any grounds for you being harsh, intimidating, and frightening to your 12-year-old daughter? Other than
no.
I didn't give her any medication. You just said your letter was harsh, so I'm wondering if there is harshness on your part.
Harshness on my part?
Yes.
Well, I guess the harshness might be where I feel hurt because, you know, all I've ever done is love that girl.
Okay, but she says she's afraid of you. Now, the question you would have to ask, and I'm asking you, is there grounds for your daughter to be afraid of you? Okay.
Because my fear, like Mylan's, is that just as you were going to send her a letter saying, you know, I've loved you and all this, that those are comments that would be to your ex-wife saying, what is this letter all about? You know I've loved her. Where'd she get this idea? See, but well, you're saying it to the 12-year-old. You're saying it to the 12-year-old versus the source of the problem. So first of all,
if I go to there's a history here. We're in the middle of court right now.
Okay, but let's just say
out of court for 8 years.
Okay, the bottom line is don't send a letter complaining to your daughter or bragging on how much you love her. Okay, that's the first thing. We don't think that's going to be helpful. When we get back from the break, we'll tell you some things you might want to do to try to rebuild the relationship, whether she's her views are distorted, whether it's from her own mind or from her mom. We'll try to help you with that. So we'll be back right after this for more New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We'd love to help you. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
I'm back talking with Jeff. Difficulty with the ex and the 12-year-old. And Sherry, you have some comments for Jeff.
So, Jeff, I'm going to just wrap my arms around you and speak here because I want to respond to you, but I'm going to respond to you with a little bit of boldness. So when you talked about your daughter's letter and her saying you scare her, you intimidate her, and that you won't give her medication, the person I'm hearing that's scared right now is you. You are scared of your ex. You are intimidated by your ex. She is.
Really?
She's
what do you think?
Well, because she scared you away 2 years ago.
She didn't scare me away.
But you haven't seen your daughter for 2 years.
But I've been in and out of court for the whole time.
Hold on a second. Let me have some information here. Has the court said you cannot see your daughter? Have they pulled your right out of, you know, have they pulled your rights away and said you cannot see her?
Some of them. But I still have visitation with her.
There you go. So. That's what I'm talking to right now. You still have rights to see her. Two years ago, you left your daughter. in a very fearful place. In her mind, in her little 12-year-old mind, Daddy didn't give me what I needed. And then Mom has been...
How did I do that?
You did that by not giving her the asthma medication. Now,
no, that was years ago.
Okay, but your daughter's remembered that. She's stuck. Your 12-year-old is stuck in fear 2 years ago. And your ex-wife has been like fanning the flame of her fear for 2 years.
Well, that she has been doing.
I want to speak to you about you getting your own work done right now. Because you are playing into the sickness.
I'm opting out of the sickness.
You're playing into it. You abandoned your daughter 2 years ago.
I did no such thing, and I resent that. No, I did not do that.
Well, have you seen her in 2 years?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said you haven't seen her for 2 years.
That was no. If I said that, then I apologize.
Okay.
Not at all.
So you have seen her regular visitations over the last 2 years?
When she's agreeing with it.
When who's agreeing with it?
There were a couple of times where I threatened her with the sheriff's department. I said, look, you know, it's my visitation, I'm your father, and I will spend this time with you.
That can be scary and intimidating.
And you're going to call the sheriff on her if she doesn't visit you?
On who? The daughter or your ex-wife?
I told my daughter that.
Okay. And why did you tell your daughter that?
Because she was refusing the visitation.
Okay. So this is why she's afraid of you then.
Don't you see that? Can't you see that? Most parents don't say I'm
going to go back ahead of that. Then what started the fear prior to that? Then,
well, what that may not matter. What really matters is that there aren't a lot of fathers who would tell a 12-year-old, "I'm going to call the sheriff on you." They might say, "Hey, I want to sit down with a counselor and let's talk about what's come between us." But they wouldn't see calling the sheriff. I mean, no wonder she's intimidated and afraid. I would be too.
Is this new?
That's fine. I can own that. I think you don't know the whole story. It's been going on for 8 years. There's a lot of history there, and you don't know any of it.
Okay, but we want to have compassion on how hard this has been, and I want you to know, all three of us hear how hard it's been. But there is a missing piece here, Jeff, and it might be hard to hear from at least me, but I think you have some hurt and some pain that is causing you to act in more extreme ways with your 12-year-old. Your hurt is coming out in control. Your hurt is coming out in anger. It's kind of leaking out. It's leaking out in a different way.
Well, and I can see how you would think that, and that could be partially true. Part of it, too, I can assure you, is that I want to get my daughter away from my wife's influence, or my former wife's influence. And so the longer that she stays there, the more time my former wife has to convince her.
But this is not a battle. It's not a tug of war, and she's not a rope. You've got to. Have you done any counseling your own? Have you looked at your issues to look at that hurt that's causing you to act in ways that are scaring your daughter?
I don't think we've looked at that. No, but I have been in and out of counseling and with my daughter as well. So, in fact, we currently are doing that.
That's great. And I think you have a daughter who now is 12 years old, and in 6 years or sooner, she'll be able to make her own decisions. But that, even at 18, does not mean that she'll be free from the gravitational field of her mother.
I understand that. Yeah.
Okay. So the best thing you can do is, instead of fighting and threatening to call the police, I would recommend that you say, if you're afraid, then let's go talk to our counselor together and let's hear all about your fears. I want to know every one of them so I can love you there.
Well, this is what we've done, and we're kind of in the middle of that now.
Good.
The problem is that she spews the lies that her mom tells.
But all you can do is replace those with your own truth in the therapist's office in a safe environment where you can reassure your daughter, and eventually, in the future, she will reach back into the historical archives of her own memory, and she'll begin to compare the two of you. And if you provide that opportunity for connection, you will build a bond.
I'm going to send you How We Love Our Kids. I hope that helps you. Unconditionally love that 12-year-old, and don't hold her responsible when she's manipulated by her mother. We'll be back after this.
There's a common misconception in our society that divorce is the only option for a broken marriage.
A month before coming here, I went and saw a non-church-related counselor. The lady I talked to said, you need to be divorced by the end of the year.
Here at New Life, we believe the complete opposite. Your marriage can be repaired, no matter what you've gone through.
Everything, even the most devastating thing in your marriage, God can take and work it together for good.
Bring your troubles to New Life's Marriage Weekend. From October 11th through the 13th in Columbus, Ohio, New Life's group counselors will be working to help struggling couples across the country. And Steve Arterburn, Mylon and Kay Yurkovich, and Drs. Dave and Jan Stoop will be teaching you how to repair your marriage. To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I just want to say thank you. This weekend has been completely transformational.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Let's go to Carmen, Houston, Texas, KKHT. Hello, Carmen.
Hi, hello. I'm calling because I have a question for you guys because it's very important. I have already done everything that I can for my marriage. We already been at the Weekend to Remember. We already been at marriage counseling in our church. We already been at the couples class in our church. The problem has been pornography since the very beginning. So when I found out about it, my husband, my boyfriend at the time, we were not Christian at the time, my boyfriend started feeling frustrated, and it turned out to be violent to me. And at the time, I just forgave him and let it go. But as the years keep passing, he became more and more violent to me. And so eventually, I committed adultery. And now he became more and more violent to me. We already been trying to work it out, but nothing has helped. So it turned out that now we're facing divorce. I actually had to apply for a divorce. I had to force a divorce on him because CPS is involved. Now we have a 2-year-old daughter, and CPS already told me that if the aggressions keep happening, they're going to come and take my baby away from me. So I'm in a situation where there is nothing left for me to do but to just move on, and I want to ask, how do I move on? Is it okay for me to feel that to go on with another person? Is it okay for me to get a divorce? I understand the Bible says not to get a divorce in any situation, but I'm just so lonely. I've been away from him since December of last year,
mm-hmm.
and I have asked him to get help. he was involved in a group that held men for pornography, but it don't matter what happens, he keeps going to these churches, he keeps going, keeps reading these books, keep help, getting help from these men, but he comes back home doing the same
okay.
thing.
So let's see what Sherry and Mylan are thinking about this.
Well, there's two questions here, and you're confusing and combining two things. The first one is you must, for the sake of safety for you and your child, get away from a violent person. We recommend that in all cases. And when we're in crisis, it's never a good time to plan your future. And that's what I mean by confusing two things. You're trying to say, how do I manage this, and then can I remarry? And that is not. Those two questions shouldn't be combined right now. I appreciate that you're lonely, but part of the problem is that, you know, you have to first ask, how do we protect ourselves? Secondly, the fact that you sought shelter in an adulterous relationship did not help your cause. And hopefully you know that. Because I'm certain that in those church classes, et cetera, they would not condone that because God doesn't condone that. So you need to really examine how desperate you are for loneliness, because some people are addicted to togetherness so much to the point they'll violate God's laws just to be with somebody. And that is a serious problem. The very fact that he evidenced pornography and some violence prior to marriage and you married him anyhow, those are all issues that you need to address. Why do I pick who I pick? Why do I need to be with people so desperately? I'll violate my Christian conscience, my own conscience, to go to a place where I'm close to somebody but violating what I know to be true. So the very first thing you need to do is get out of the relationship, as you said, for the sake of protection. Number two, you need to examine why you so desperately are lonely and then will violate your conscience. And then number three, you can ask the third question at a later time.
So I think I may have a good guess as to what Mylan was saying, as to why you might have violated something that you believe strongly about. One principle. It's because you believe some other things, which are, I'm worthless, I'm not lovable, I'm insignificant and unimportant, I don't really matter. Is that true?
Yes, it is true.
I know, because, dear one.
I grew up without a father.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. I can't change that.
I get it.
I cannot change that. And I need to cure myself from that. But how do I move on?
Well,
how do I get that help?
Let me tell you, I would like to have you come and sit with 150 plus other women who know exactly how it feels be in your position. It's called Women in the Battle. And we will spend a whole weekend helping you to understand that and helping you get some healing. Because, sweetheart, if you do not heal this wound, guess what you're going to do? You're going to run right into the arms of another man who's going to hurt you.
Yes.
I'm frightened for you.
I don't want to do that.
I know. Well, then I want you to get some help, because in the midst of all the laundry list of the things that you've said you've done, I haven't heard anything where someone has cared for your heart. Someone who's really reached out to you and helped to unpack your wounds and to help bandage you up so that you can be strong and you can make better decisions. And we want to do that on the weekend. It's just in November. It's so close. I want you to hold on the line, and we want to get you to Women in the Battle.
All right. I do. I really do hope that we can help you. And hold on. Maybe there's a scholarship available for you. There are so many scholarship dollars for people. Call if you can't afford it. It could change absolutely everything. And I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice, and I hope that that's going to be of help to you in addition to going. Now, let's go to Kathy from Indianapolis, Indiana. WQME is the station she listens to. I usually broadcast from there. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy. How you doing?
I'm okay. The question I have is just along the lines of so many other callers. I just get hurt over things, and I can't seem to get over it. I don't have a whole lot of power. I want to withdraw and go to bed and sleep for a long time or something like that.
What is something that would happen that would send you to bed? You know, you would typically go right on to bed over this thing. I'm serious.
I know you are. I've always tried to start my own business. I'm a very talented home health aide, and I've tried to start a private duty care business, and I just don't have good enough self-esteem to do it. And my son's trying to do it for me, but, I've been in counseling. I've done all these things. I've been to healing services. I don't get better. The hurt is right under the surface.
Mylan, where do you think that comes from? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm not clear how this has to do with your question. What does you struggling with this business have to do with your being hurt a lot, withdrawing, and going to sleep? What does that have to do with your home health care business?
Low self-esteem, I think, that I just don't deserve it.
I'm
57, and I've got clinical depression, and I've been sexually abused. But you know, I've been counseled for that kind of thing, and I still just have a lot of hurt.
But Steve asked you to bed.
That's right. Steve asked you a question, and I need to hear the answer to Steve's good question. What will hurt you that causes you to have to then withdraw and go to bed?
I think probably not being listened to. That I just lost a job recently, and it wasn't a good match. It was with disabled folks, and it was about behavior. You know, you have to know how to stop the behavior or help them along to, are you familiar? Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's like, let me ask you a question. If someone critiques, criticizes, or questions you, and so what we've learned then is and I'm going to guess that hurt has to do with shame.
Yes.
So let's go backwards for a moment. When did you first begin to feel that shame?
Where's the origin?
What's the origin of that shame? How early can you remember feeling shame that someone shook their finger at you or criticized or critiqued you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always been very, very sensitive as long as I can remember.
Okay. Well, try to be specific.
Excuse me?
Try to be specific.
Specific? Well, I've just always been very, very, very fragile, but of course it didn't help when my dad wanted to have sex with me or was inappropriate with me at 10, 11, 12 years old.
Okay, so we're going to come back after the break, but what I want you to begin thinking about is the idea that I have to learn to tolerate rejection.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much help there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical or doesn't make sense or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy,
and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Denham November 1st through the 3rd in Southern California. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're talking with Kathy. Very easily hurt, so much so that she can end up just going to bed over being evaluated, criticized. You want to continue with her?
Well, we were talking about rejection, Kathy, and rejection is an adult reality. For a child, it is a supreme loss to be rejected. But as an adult, we have to get used to the concept that rejection is common in our world for adults. And So really, there's a little girl driving the 57-year-old bus.
Yeah.
So
yes, that's right.
So in your work with therapists, have you done any grief work about the early rejections that you have felt?
I don't think so.
Okay. Sherry's going to tell you a little bit about that process.
About the grief process?
Yes. What grief does to free us up to face the future and adult realities?
Yeah. Well, grieving what you didn't have, a safe environment, somebody who loved you and saw you, cared for you, protected you. You know what? I'm going to have you, Mylan, I'm going to have you take it because I'm on a whole different plane with her. I wanted to bring up a couple things. I'm trying to change channels. And
let me just say that.
Because I don't want to fake it.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you. That's
quite all right.
I've got a couple other things
we'll have little goof ups
well,
on the radio
as
well.
That's why we're here with different perspectives.
That's right. And thank you for that.
Normally,
I would say if in fact we do not grieve the things that cause our pain, we are still tied to them because it means we don't fully understand them. So grief is a process of cutting the chains that tie us to a ball and chain to the past. That allows us to be free to move forward into a new world. So grief therapy, grief recovery would be one of the recommendations that I would make.
Okay.
Now,
Thank you, Sherry has a different...
Yeah, I was thinking that Sherry might have a different perspective altogether.
Because I couldn't even change channels.
Lucky you, Kathy.
Channel change. Yeah. Here we go.
All right.
So in the trauma work that I do, Kathy, there is a group of people within that group of people that are called HSPs, highly sensitive people.
Uh-huh.
And you may be an HSP. You may, because you've been sensitive all your life, you may take things in really deeply. You may be bothered by things that maybe other people wouldn't be bothered by. HSPs get overwhelmed with disconnection and criticism, where somebody else could maybe hear it and make adjustments. They implode. So there's a book called The Highly Sensitive Person that if you're interested, you can learn more. But this is what I think may be happening with you is because of your abuse, you've got some beliefs in there that still have not healed, such as I don't deserve love. I'm a bad person. I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
That may be attached to that sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And when you say it's right under the surface, I go, good, dear one, that's right under the surface, meaning there's more work to do there.
Okay.
Because those negative events that happened are stored in your limbic system. So I'm not surprised you're depressed, because guess what's in the limbic system?
Mm-hmm.
It's something called the amygdala. And the amygdala hold highly charged emotional memories, and those memories attach beliefs to them, lies. Lies like, I'm not a good person, I'm not good enough, and that's why criticism takes you out. But the new belief that you need to install and work with someone until you get there is, I am a good person. I'm going to grieve the fact that somebody did something to me, but that doesn't define me. It's not my identity. I am a good person. I do deserve love. I can have love. I can succeed. Those are beliefs that are probably foreign to you, huh?
Well, I tell you, coming to healing is a choice. I'll send you the book, but man, that could just change everything.
Yes,
her.
Some people live, our identity becomes what happened to us.
Yeah.
And we keep living that identity of these negative beliefs where we need to move to a place of our new identity. As you said, Mylan, grieve that old, those lies, and move into what's really true about you.
Yeah.
Is I am capable. I'm a good person. Right. I did the best that I could.
Yeah.
I'm not a bad person. I was molested by a bad person.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, okay, I'm going to send her Healing as a Choice, see if we can get her.
Well, she lives in Indianapolis, you see, yeah. And Columbus, Ohio is not that far away from there, and Healing as a Choice is going to be offered in October.
It's going to be in Columbus in October. Every Man's Battle is in Nashville in September, and Women in the Battle is going to be in D.C. in November.
It's cool on those weekends when you have an identity shift.
Yeah.
You notice because people start living different.
Our reactivity changes.
Yeah.
It does.
But I think in the midst of all of that, Sherry, you've really taught us a great lesson, how to punt, how to hand off back to a person.
Instead of fake it. I'm listening to myself. I'm going, I'm not even making sense right now.
You remember the call where we said to the guy, hey, you ought to just try to admit, you know, okay, I lied about that.
You know,
just, well, this pretty great modeling right there.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm faking it.
I can't go back.
So thanks for showing that to us. Really appreciate that.
Got to be real and honest, right, with our listeners. I can't fake it.
Hey, whatever your name is, you need to avoid the AIM words. Blame, shame, maim, lame, all those things that are negative things in your life. But you know what? God knows your name. God cares about you. Your name is written in the book of life. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. Now, that's something to celebrate. The God of the universe, millions of years of universe, hundreds of millions of years of universe, except for those that think it's only 2,000 years old, there was a God that thought of you. And if you can't experience that love, if you can't feel that, that's because probably somebody cut you off from that love of God, and we want to help you heal from that. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you about a workshop. We'll send you to one of our almost 1,000 counselors around the country, or we'll give you a resource or do something that might help you to connect with the God that loves you so much and wants the best for you. So please call us if you need help of any kind, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can go to the website newlife.com. Now, it's our 25th anniversary, and as you've probably heard me say, the Club New Life is only $25 a month. And for that, we send you a Bible. I send a CD that I make for you every single month, and you get discounts on what you do. But I think more than that, every time you hear someone helped on this program, you can say to yourself, I'm part of that life change. I'm part of that transformation. And remember, we're really not here to help people feel better. In fact, we want people to feel so bad that they decide maybe I ought to change. Because a lot of times we give out spiritual band-aids in the church. And, you know, as it says in Jeremiah 6:14, they treat the deep wounds of my people with superficial treatment. Some of you've gone for help in the Christian world, and you've been given some little pat answers or superficial treatments. We want to help you go deep and heal that. And every time we do that, when you support us, you're part of that healing, that deeper need being met. So if you need help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, it's the same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, you can give online at newlife.com. Check out the website, newlife.com. It tells you about all the things that we're doing. And if you need anything, if you need a prayer, if you've got a prayer request, whatever, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, because every week we pray for the folks that send us those prayer requests, and we're grateful for them. My huge, big, old, fat thanks to Mylan Yurkovich. Thank you, Mylan, for being
with
us. Thank you, Dr. Sherry Denham. Soon to be Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Yep.
Pretty cool. And pray for us. We could never, ever get too much prayer. We need it. We're up against a lot of things. We love what we do. And we're so grateful to those that support us to let us do what we were called to do, and that is to help people live a life that honors God, connected to others, and connected to that God. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.